We are live and in color. Thrill Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Hour Edition on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Derek Brandeo, Jennifer Rolnick, and in off vacation, where I don't even think it was a real vacation. It was to hide from me because he lost something that meant a lot to me.
Just and to you, eh?
I'm not even going to get into it. Well, you know what? I needed a full hour to calm down, and then I want to hear your version of losing a very important jersey, but we're going to do it at the top of the national hour.
How do you make them wait, eh?
I got to still collect my thoughts, Sammy. I don't know how I feel about you right now, okay? And I don't want to say anything I'm going to regret.
Okay, that's fair.
All right?
That's fair.
Welcome back, by the way.
Welcome back. Sure.
Yeah, thanks. Welcome back. Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Yeah, I'm really, really happy to be back, as I lie to both of your faces. Really thrilled to have left Hawaii to come back here.
Yeah, and like I said, we'll address it. So you collect your thoughts as well.
I have spent an entire week collecting my thoughts. I have been panicking about this very moment for a full week, and now I have to wait longer. I have to do an hour of radio without being able to just get through this.
It's the wife, we need to talk, but can't now sort of thing.
Yes.
Like, well, just tell me later when we can.
No panic, though, in the Toronto Maple Leafs, who sweep their back-to-back. So that's good news for Sammy and everybody in Leaf Nation.
Yeah. Did that happen? Because I didn't watch much yesterday.
It happened on our watch last night, myself, JB, you, of course, David Amber and Elliot Friedman had to pretend we watched the game while we were watching Rory.
That was compelling.
With one eye.
Compelling theater.
I said, I'm not coming back down on the league again, but like NHL head office, New York City, you can never allow a 5 p.m. start on Masters Sunday.
With the leaderboard being...
ever again.
McIlroy, DeChambeau, Corey Connors, like everyone you were interested in Canada.
And not to mention, I don't know if you noticed what the NBA did yesterday, but the NBA had every single team play yesterday it was like the final game of the season. So there was a 1:30 tip window and a 3:30 tip window. And there was every single team in the NBA playing on Masters Sunday.
Really?
Yes.
Done by 5, though.
Well, I guess. Yeah, but I mean... there's lots of good things happen before 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like it was a pretty amazing situation.
It is a statement. They're saying we're afraid of the NFL. We're not afraid of the Masters.
Yeah. It would be really interesting to see, I mean, the ratings on that in terms of what actually happened. I mean, you know, the 10 people that watched your guys' show religiously did a really good job.
Our show was also a defensive masterpiece, which is a tough one.
Yeah, we'll get into what we witnessed.
I will say I did Leafs talk with JD yesterday and I was a pretty good boy. I put the Masters on my laptop. I had the big screen at home on the Leafs. Had the sound on the Masters, but I was paying close attention to the Leafs. I'm a professional. Mm-hmm. But I'd be lying if I said my eye didn't wander quite a bit.
Yeah, like we obviously watched the Leafs game. But because golf, like you need to tune in for a swing for 10 seconds and then you're back.
What's your biggest takeaway, boys, from Rory winning?
That life emulates, or golf emulates life, where you get kicked in the teeth and then you have a chance to recover.
Yeah.
That's what I got out of yesterday.
Love that.
And I'll say that, you know, I'm going to spin it to a Leafs conversation, and that you've never, you know, you're a loser, you're a choker, you've never won until you win. It's not, and this is something I fight with you about, that a thing happens, you're like, well, they're this, or the, you know, they're chokers, or this Rory's a choker or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's fine that these people build up that reputation, but it doesn't mean that's what's going to happen next.
How, like, first of all, you're comparing Rory to the Leafs.
I am.
Yeah. That's
extremely talented.
Rory's already won majors. He's now a handful of guys that have won the Grand Slam.
Mm-hmm. He's sixth in all time.
Okay. Six, yeah, not a handful.
But Kip, it's a greater point. You make it about Ovechkin. Ovechkin was in the league for the guy, 14 years.
Whoever's
before he
calling him a choker or a loser
is
a loser.
I totally agree.
Okay?
But I did like
the man. The man is 35 years old, and everybody was ready to pounce on him as the biggest choker in the history of the game. Yeah. And it's just wrong.
Yeah.
It's just wrong.
Was that his fifth major?
It was his fifth major.
Yeah.
It's just wrong.
Yeah.
Gun to my head, though, never would thought he would have won. I never thought he would have ever have what it takes to do what he did yesterday.
Sammy, you got to calm down. You're a trendsetter now.
I mean,
when you call somebody a choker or a loser, you know, it has a ripple effect, and it's just wrong. You're abusing your platform, Sammy, with the Leafs and with Rory.
This just become about Marner.
You're so scared to you're just ready to call everybody losers and chokers.
That's not true. That's not true.
Did you learn something yesterday?
I learned that I didn't dislike Rory as much as I thought.
That's nice.
I would say that.
There you go.
Well, I mean, our mutual friend Brent Gunning is a diehard Rory fan.
And that turns you off him.
For sure. Like, that's, I would be lying to you right now if I told you that wasn't the part of the reason that it's changed it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I was texting reverse jinxes to Gunner all day long about, oh, he's got this.
He can't lose now.
How can he lose this now? Yeah. Like, what's Nance's call going to be? Like, all this stuff. But I will say, I felt awful forever rooting against him the second I saw the reaction when the putt drops on the first playoff hole. That, I mean, you can watch sports your whole life. You're not going to see many more emotional reactions to anything like that. That was beautiful. Yeah. I almost cried, and I don't even like him, and I almost cried. It was beautiful.
I can't imagine how exhausted he would be.
Oh, my God.
You know, you hit some of that sweeping hook or the draw around on 15 to 4 feet or whatever it was, 8 feet, and he missed it. But still, it's like some of the shots he hit, it's like, it's his. It's a lock. And then it's gone again, and boy, it was compelling.
Do we have Paul Maurice on our show? Did you guys ask Paul Maurice about, like, you ever let yourself think about what would have happened?
Yeah, he had a great answer about
that.
It's like how he was going to be the biggest, you know, to blow
the 3-0 in the final. And it's like, do you ever think about that? And he said something like, I don't even let myself go there or whatever. I don't think Rory will ever let himself go to if he had a blown that with a flip wedge into the 18th. Anyways, good tournament.
Really good. Yeah.
And who enjoyed the Carolina game?
Well, it was.
I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather difficult. But if we say that it was a game that started out maybe as ugly as the Florida game earlier in the week, and then to rebound back in the second and third period, I thought showed a lot of character.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, they could not get it back on the rails against the Florida Panthers in that same similar kind of start.
Mm-hmm.
But they certainly did yesterday.
Yeah, it's, you know, it is becoming a strength of this team. Is this like, shut it down? You know, they had a shutout on the Saturday night and then one goal against on Sunday. High danger chances are just down as, you know, the farther they get from having Brandon Carlo.
Mm-hmm.
But get McCabe back. You start to see a version of the Leafs that is a playoff team where it's like, well, everyone's been saying they want them to be defensive and heavier and 13 guys who fought and they don't allow chances. There you go.
I guess, you know, Carolina's not playing for anything. So I think there's maybe a conversation that they took their foot off the gas a little bit or whatever. But I did think Saturday night in particular was pretty impressive, the defensive effort against the Montreal Canadiens who've been hot, coming in well. And they have five guys in their decor, and it was a really good effort to shut it down.
Yeah, I went to the game thanks to a Colin invited me, a good friend of mine.
Okay.
Oh, you went in the seats?
I was in the seats.
Wow.
A few people asking me about whether or not I was going to kill you or not.
That's fun.
Yeah. I still don't know if I'm out of the woods for a killing.
For a 0-0 score, it was a very good hockey
game. Stuff happened in the 0-0 game.
There was a lot of intensity. There was a lot of back and forth. Both sides had ample opportunity to get the first goal. It had a good vibe. What I got out of Saturday night was Leaf fans are ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're ready.
Okay.
They're excited.
Excited. There's a feeling of, It's a different feel, and it has more to do with probably style of play and just the fact that they're ready to triple down, quadruple down.
So what you're saying is this is the year.
Yeah.
What I'm telling you is if we're judging it on the American East Division in baseball, there's a chance.
Yeah.
Maybe it has nothing to do with how good you are, but maybe how sometimes other teams are having some issues as well. Yeah. So
two things to note. First is you mentioned something that I've had mentioned to me and Sam's had mentioned to him, is that our buddy Edge watches the show, Adam Copeland.
Yes.
And we got to have him on. Yeah. We love and appreciate he listens.
He was there Saturday night.
That's so cool.
I saw him the alumni box. Okay. And big fan of the show.
That's nice.
Doesn't miss it.
That's nice.
We're going to get him on the show at some point.
That's nice. I'll text him. Did he say anything about the jersey?
He mentioned...
he's coming in here to just tune you up.
He's doing the choke slam.
He did mention that he's big fans of Justin and mine.
Okay, good.
The other thing, though, that I will note is, hockey thing, three different left wingers have played left wing on the second line in the last four games. Mm. So, you know, they've had McMahon there, they've had Domi there, they had Yarncroc there. That's still not settled. They've had some very different looking lines down the lineup. McMahon, Holmberg, and Robertson, Lorenz, Lawton, and Yarncroc. So it is interesting to me that he doesn't change the lines much, but right now things seem more in flux than they've been all year long.
What do you think about that?
I don't feel great about it.
Yeah.
I don't. I would have really hoped that McMahon would have locked in that second line. Like, I'm not giving you any opportunity to take me away from a top six position.
I think they think he's so good, it's their best chance to give them a third line, is to not have him on the second line. Like, I don't think it's like, they don't think he deserves that spot. I think it's a compliment that they're like, if we put him down the lineup, we can have another line. And they want it to be...
I wish they would have probably looked at this in like February, March. It's not like the last three games of the season.
Makes me want to pull my hair out.
Okay.
Yes.
Now they're going to be like, no.
Here's an idea.
Here's an idea in the last three games of the season.
Yeah. It's funny. They got all these guys jockeying for spots. You got Nyes Matthews Marner's a lock. Tavares and Nylander are a lock. And then you got seven guys that are kind of swirling around. Kampf is going to come back at some point. Is there another guy that's out right now?
Patches?
Patches.
Yeah,
that's it.
Patches.
So, I mean,
so we had this conversation last night on our Leaf show last night with David Amber. And where are you on Max Pacioretty?
Yeah. I kind of went into that segment with an opinion, like a thing planned to say, because that's how you do those segments. But you made you convinced me that I think I liked your answer better than mine, which is he hasn't played in 2 months. He's 230 pounds and 36 years old or whatever he is. I don't know.
Are we going to just plop him in game one where the Ottawa Senators are going, boom, 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 everybody's flying. You're chasing now Sanderson. You're chasing Shabbat. Mm. And
it's a fast team.
When
man.
I'm watching Nick Robertson play both in Florida and Tampa Bay,
he's hunting the puck.
That tells me that they're ready to put him in game one. And I don't know what game two or game three. And I'm a firm believer of 23 man roster. At some point you're going to get in and some point that, but I'm not taking out Nick Robertson to put in Max Pacioretty.
Wow. Imagine seeing that. 4 months ago.
2 months. I would have thought maybe there was an opportunity for Max to get back in there and get some reps in. I just think it's too hard at this point to get him in. Let the series develop. You feel it out. If you want to go a little heavier, you go to him.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Like, Landeskog's in the American League right now. Oh, big shout out to him. We'll mention the National Hour.
Yeah, fantastic.
Scored a goal. Yeah. Really cool. But, like, I was kind of hoping right now Pacioretty'd be playing for the Marlies. You know, that he'd be getting shifts and, you know, back up to speed, whatever.
Yeah.
Because it is a little bit terrifying to put him in. Now, one thing with Nick Robertson, he played the first six games of the Boston series last year. He was not a healthy scratch. He had zero.
He's Sam Mitchell.
Sam Mitchell. Yeah. Zeros across the board.
He does add an element of speed and tenacity on top of being a threat to shoot it in the net.
He's a dynamic player, and they don't have a bunch of those.
The only thing I would kind of look more so is, like, at some point, is it Yarncroke out and Pacioretty in?
Yeah.
And
a little further down the line.
I think they really like Yarncroke, though.
Yeah.
They like, he's also a guy that can play fast.
Yep.
Right? He can get in on a forecheck.
He'll
and although
do what the coach tells him to do.
He's not running anybody over. At least he can press somebody to pass the puck faster than they want to.
How about Scotty Laughton absolutely ruining a crossbar last night?
I love that move.
That was the most, like, this is going to be for pure catharsis. I'm a frustrated player. I'm going to try to rip this in.
See, I didn't get a frustrated
you
player on that breakaway.
It was the right play.
I thought it was a carefree slap shot.
Okay.
Like,
let's let it fly.
I'm so tired right now of overthinking.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go in there and blast the crap out of this thing.
From the forward tees. He was at the hash marks when he let it go.
And for it to hit the bottom of the crossbar and go straight down, he's a millimeter from a goal. I think a literal millimeter.
I think it was a great sign for where he is.
Yeah.
I'm not overthinking this. Yeah. I'm not going to go in there and pull it forehand, backhand two or three times and watch it blow up like a...
You're right.
You know, a grenade.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go in there and shoot it. And he just flat out beat Freddie.
So how about this? He's, you know, we've had three guys play left wing with Tavares and Nylander. Not once since the trade have they said, hey, can we see if Scott can have a little run? You know, could he be the guy who goes and mucks it up and gets the puck and does the right things, make room for the goal scorers? Give him a chance.
Give him a chance.
Give him a chance.
I just don't.
I know he has
again,
earned it play-wise.
You know. Two games left. It's just too late to go there.
I wonder, is Domi going to start playoffs there?
It kind of feels like it.
It does. And it feels like Laughton will play fourth line with Lorenz and Yarncroke.
But, they're not – last night, I think they played almost 16 minutes, that line. Like, I think when I looked at it last night, I can't remember the exact
number. Was it Laughton line?
Yeah, Laughton played 15-something.
They had no Lorenz choice.
Like,
for sure, I mean
– Saturday night, they
absurd.
Went – 26 and a half minutes. While other teams are resting their star players, they go and play Mitch 26 and a half minutes.
Yeah, and it's like playing shifts on the fence. Like, do we need to do this in late April and early April?
There's a case to be made that they do. You know, this division's
there's a case
crucial.
To be made that, like,
I just meant playing on defense.
All hands on deck,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Everybody on deck for tomorrow night in Buffalo.
Yeah.
They cannot lose the two games in a row, and they can't allow any type of life for Tampa Bay.
I gotta tell you, I think they're gonna play awful tomorrow night. I think it's like Buffalo's an eliminated team. It's supposed to be an easy game. You just need a point, and even if you don't get it, maybe Tampa loses one. You know, it just feels like a sleepy...
This is a rare disagreement on Leaf Egg Nights.
Great, great, great.
I think they'll just kick the crap out of them. It's going to be 85% Leaf fans.
Yeah.
If they know the situation, Buffalo reeks. I actually think they will show up tomorrow night.
Okay, that's
could be
great. I would
night.
Love to be wrong.
I do.
Buffalo's
I do feel that.
Could be
red hot.
Yeah.
Could be a night where they could fill it in.
Yeah. Okay, well, how about it's one or the other? Because it wouldn't shock me. I don't see a hard fought 3-2.
I can see what you're talking about.
A little from
you hope that Mitch gets his 100 points and everybody's resting.
Please,
you know what? They've done a nice job of downplaying all of that stuff, including, I think, Matthews has got some milestones too, does he not? Like a 400th goal or something?
I got to tell you, I could care less about that.
It's great. It's great because nobody's really pushed that narrative at all, and that was the one that sunk them last year.
Yeah, it's just like if he were at the end of his career and can he get 400 before he retires, he's going to get 500, 600. This is just going to be another number on the table. I don't care about 400. 100 points for Mitch, great. I'd love to see him get it over with and hopefully rest some people. Now, Elliot made the point off air yesterday about resting players, is that the Leafs don't exactly have the luxury of doing it. They're up against the salary cap, and so you can't sit out a player who you then have to pay for.
No, they're pressed tomorrow night.
Yeah, and plug someone else in, you'll be over the cap. So you can't voluntarily rest someone, and you can't put guys on LTIR right now because of the end of the season. So resting guys is going to have to be Kampf staying out or him coming back. I don't know how they do
McCabe
it mathematically.
Is available, I think, tomorrow night.
That would be good. I'll check the
now whether he plays or not. I don't know where they how comfortable they are if he wants to sit him out one more game, but he probably could have played on the weekend if it was really important.
Mm. So those guys are off LTIR though. Like McCabe is available,
yes,
and Camp is available. Pacioretty cannot come back because he is on LTIR.
Yeah.
They take him off, they're way over. So there's no chance you'll see him pre-playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you'd think a team that has been in a position to win a division would have been a lot more comfortable to rest some guys down the road here.
But it hasn't really been close until recently.
And it's cap stuff, is it not? Like,
so once Camp's back, someone can sit out who's good.
But if they want to go 11-7, if McCabe's back and they put in McCabe and put somebody out, like they can do it that way. Like,
yes,
go 10-8. Like, just find a way to get somebody some rest.
Right.
If it doesn't matter.
But that's the big thing. If it doesn't matter,
it's gotta
not matter. If you do this and lose Thursday night and by chance lose the division, people are going to come back and go, what were you doing?
Well, you don't rest anybody tomorrow, flat out.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is all system. Like you said, all systems go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be really, it would be nice if they could rest guys, but God, it'd be nice to lock this thing up, have a couple of days.
Couple things I wanted to ask you guys about. First thing is Morgan Riley, who had a good weekend, I think.
Good against
Montreal, good against Carolina, producing at least. Do you feel a change in him heading towards playoffs since they've gotten Carlo? He's been a lot better. Like, are you encouraged heading towards playoffs that we may see, like, the playoff Riley?
I don't think you have much choice but to think that he has to. It's just a must. I still don't feel like he's playing as quick as he did at the height of that first round a few seasons ago. Mm. To me, there's still too much thinking for him. There's times in his own zone where he has the puck and his feet aren't moving and his head's up and he's looking for either this stretch pass or someone to kind of come in underneath him. I think he's at his best when he's just playing quick.
Yeah.
And I'm still not there with him.
I like the pass he made to Matthews. You know, he got the puck in a pretty dangerous area and made a pretty good pass out. I often complain that he passes to the wrong guy at the wrong time, and that was a nice assist, good offensive assist.
I mean, even at his best, though, boys, he's never been a great own zone guy. He's never been the guy, but at least the production is coming along with that. Like, if you can get the you need to take the good with the bad with him, and I thought he looked really good on the weekend. I did.
Listen, it's imperative that he's the closest thing that the Leafs can have to go against a Jake Sanderson and a Thomas Chabot. Mm-hmm. Those guys are really dynamic when they're feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
They're skating, their ability to turn up, make a first pass, jump in on plays, shoot the puck. Like, Leafs will have their hands full with those two guys to start this series.
Yeah, they need to lay a licking on those guys every forecheck. One thing to note from Jonas Siegel, wrote an article today, Morgan Riley has blocked 38 shots since the trade deadline, same number as Chris Tanev.
Wow.
In two more games than Tanev.
And the one other one that I wanted to bring up.
But he ain't paid to block shots.
Hey,
$7.5 million.
He's paid to do the opposite of that, to shoot them in the net. Morgan Riley 5-on-5 with Brandon Carlo. Maple Leafs outscoring opponents 12-8. Riley 5-on-5 without Carlo. Leafs outscored 50-47.
Yeah.
So there's been a slight improvement on the 5-on-5.
They still, for me, spend too much time in their own zone. The good thing is that they are seemed to, at least, you know, since the Florida game, positionally sound. They take a big part of the middle of the ice away, and if they're not blocking shots, their goaltending's there. But
what the hell happened in the Florida game?
What the hell happened?
Yeah, it was ugly.
Nothing. The puck dropped, and then they played in their own end, and then 60 minutes of game time later, it was over.
Thrilled to miss that one.
Nothing happened. They had nothing going.
The next thing I wanted to ask you guys is a sort of a general conversation, maybe one that we'll have throughout the week. But a lot of my Leaf fan friends and Leaf fan people that DM me and all, like you said in the crowd, that people are ready for it. There is a general consensus that, and I'm going to say these words, that this year is different. And, you know, I would be lying if I said I didn't have a little bit of that hope in my own mind. Mm-hmm. I'm not letting myself go fully there. But do you guys believe that this is a different version?
Here's why, yes. You know,
magical amulet.
Because of the magical amulet. You know, every year it's felt like they're trying to do something in particular and falling short of it. Mm-hmm. And whether that be, you know, Marner getting to 97 and 99 points, Matthews getting to 69 goals, and them never quite winning the division. Oh, sorry. So basically, this is the year they're getting there, right? They're hitting all, they're going to win the Atlantic Division. Marner has two games to get a point. Like, they're going to hit these milestones and start the positive vibes. They defend better and they have better goaltending.
To answer your question, yes, and for only one reason. Their goaltending.
Okay.
That is it for me. They have, from the start of training camp, right up until this point, Stolarsson, Wall have been terrific. Mm-hmm. And I've stopped counting how many games that if we switched goalies, and the latest one was yesterday, say what you will about the game yesterday, you take Freddie, you give him back to the Leafs, you take Joseph Wall, you give him to Carolina, Leafs lose yesterday.
Well, they're down 3-0 after one, for sure.
Lose.
Yep. They were better in the second, but you're right.
And that, to me, is the major difference right now. There's a lot of stuff that I still don't particularly like, including the power play to me is either go big or go home. When it's bad, it's butt ugly. Their entries yesterday were atrocious.
If I'm the Ottawa Senators, I'm showing game film of the Carolina Hurricanes PK, which, by the way, is the best in the NHL, mm-hmm. against the Leafs. And I'm saying, stand them up at the blue. You know, we need all four up at that entry. They try to kick it out from Matthews on the dot line to the wall, or Willie, dot line to the wall. Yeah. And it's, if you knock it out of the air, get a stick in the lane.
If they're going to play this kind of rope-a-dope and take some punches and block some shots and an uppercut here, and their goaltending can continue to do what they're doing, they got a chance here. That's the game right now. But I wouldn't put too much stress on them. Starting in game one.
At least they're playing a wild card team, you know? Like, at least it's not Florida or Tampa. I mean, hey, likely not.
Yeah.
That's a start.
Yeah, I'm not totally convinced. Like, obviously, Ottawa is a better option than Florida, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how much better of an option it is. Like, I really do think that Leaf fans' worries are fair ones with them.
Yeah, they're a good team, right? They're top 16 in the NHL. They can beat you.
So you're less worried about it, Kipper.
You know where kind of Ottawa would worry me if I'm the Leafs is that third line.
Mm.
The third line of Pinto and...
Amadio and
Amadio.
Cousins.
And, well, Pinto's a heck of a third line.
Greg's
centerman.
Greg,
okay?
Greg's down there too.
Like, their bottom six, I think, has a chance here to be different makers. And, you know, do the Leafs have a Nick Paul now to step up? Because I think Shane Pinto has a chance to be like a Nick Paul for Ottawa.
Yeah. I will say one thing that hasn't happened in previous playoffs is when you look at some of these teams and you look at a D pair and you go, all right, they at least have a couple guys that you can eat up. And that hasn't been the case. It's, you know, Florida was so good and, you know, Boston's been able to put it together. Tampa, mm-hmm. You know, that Cleven and Montempolo, they can play and they're going to be good players in the league. Cleven, for me, every other shift is he's Rory's round the other day. Great play. What the hell is that? Great play. Oh, my God. You know, you can't give the Leafs too many opportunities. And they got a couple of guys who might make mistakes, which can be the difference.
And Brady Tkachuk's just sitting there waiting and resting and waiting, and he's going to get shot out of a cannon. And Matthew Nyes has to be kind of the Leafs version.
Well, he has been.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's...
But that's quite the battle.
Right?
Yeah.
He's got to match him.
I do worry that Brady Tkachuk's first ever playoff game is going to come at Scotiabank Arena.
My favorite, Down Goes Brown, once in a while does these oddly specific prediction pieces.
Yeah.
And one of them today was that Brady Tkachuk is going to do something that it's borderline suspendable, and then Leafs fans and Sens fans are going to argue about a thing Tkachuk did at some point.
God, that's fantastic.
It's going to happen where it's like he's going to do something borderline greasy. Leafs are winning a game 4-1 or something. That guy is like, put a bell on him so you know where he is at all times.
Yeah, score gets out of hand either way.
Watch out.
Head up. Him, Cousins, Ridley, Gregg.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's the thing. They are a good team.
David Perron's no sweetheart.
They have some nasty, nasty people on that team that are wanting to inflict pain. Yeah. Just what was that kid they called up from the Marlies? Quillen.
Oh, yeah.
Ask Quillen about Nick Cousins. Yeah. I mean, it ended up hurting Cousins worse, but like they're looking to hurt. So
yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break.
Sounds good.
Still plenty more on our Leaf Edition Hour, including a few Kippers Clippers. We bring Sammy back. We didn't even get to one, I don't think.
No, we didn't.
Not one.
No.
Plus, when we return, we'll tell you when we believe game one will start, night.
Oh.
All right?
We will? Okay.
Plenty more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program, Leaf Edition. What do you guys? You guys want a few clips from Saturday night? Your overall thoughts, Sammy? Saturday night. 0-0 score.
We just mentioned a little bit during their first block. I did think it was an incredibly entertaining game. I enjoyed it thoroughly, tight, and I thought the Habs were pretty limited by the Leafs defensively. And credit to them, they only had 5 D-men. So because of the stupid, it's just. These rules.
What a dumb rule that is.
It's just.
We don't have enough bodies to play.
What is this? Is this a zigzag? It's the NHL. Put a guy in there. Up, it's so stupid.
All right, let's go to Craig Berube on his overview of the Montreal game. Clip one, Derek.
Yeah, we talked about just playing real good defense tonight and tight. I thought our team did that. Helped their D out, you know. I thought that we didn't spend much time in our offensive, our D zone. You know, nothing off the rush. Just the forwards did a real good job of getting above people tonight, and our D were really good, I thought.
I'll take a negative angle, if anyone wants to hear one.
Yeah, sure.
Which is, I haven't really liked Matthews' game lately. He was good against Tampa Bay, but didn't like him in Florida, didn't like him against Montreal, didn't like him against Carolina.
Last night, he could not pass the puck.
I honestly, Kip, sometimes you and I talk about his passing, and I think he's a good passer. You don't think he's a bad passer. Last night was an atrocious display of passing from Matthews.
All right, so you saw at least something that I've seen.
He pulled the pin out of every pass and launched grenades at teammates.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tough night for him. So to me, it's less about that and more about the energy. You know, he looks so good when he's going, skating, chasing, and I didn't like him.
I think he's just the one guy that can't get this, and Morgan maybe too, can't get the regular season over fast enough.
Mm.
And yeah, anyone else would love his 30 goals, but it wasn't a year to remember, battling injuries and whatnot, and we assume he's healthy now. But this is one guy that needs a clean slate going into the playoffs, and I hope he can have that look of a threatening 60-goal scorer because they're going to need it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You saw some flashes. I mean, this once in a while, he still shows you. Like, I don't know who it was against last night in Carolina, but he pulled the puck towards the outside and he's just, like, about to drop the shoulder to go towards the net. And it just, you see that flash and you're like,
do it.
Where is it?
Yeah.
Like, do it more.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe there's a world where he's saving himself for he knows he has a certain gear that he's going to get to with whatever injury or whatever has been bugging him. He doesn't want to completely, you know, exert it before the playoffs start. I mean, that's the most positive spin. Mm-hmm. But maybe he's just not playing good.
Maybe.
Like, maybe he's just not playing well at all.
You know, there's a lot coinciding. Early season injury, brand new coach, captaincy. It's been a weird year for him, but I thought he settled out and had a really good stretch in late March.
You know, and just to pick up on the passing too, there are also flashes I've seen where he's passed the puck better than he has
him
for me.
Him and Iza found a little thing in the ozone.
He's also found some areas behind the net when he's not focused on wrapping it around that he's found guys in small seams.
Yeah, and it feels like it's often Knies.
Yes.
Like he's like, you know, wearing guys on his back, and he's a target there. It's in his scope when Matthews is thinking, shoot, Knies happens to be in that range.
Well, Knies, I mean, he's just as a cinder block that gets right between the hash marks pretty much at will. So it's kind of easy to pass to a guy like that.
Him against Chernak was really fun. Like chirping at him.
Yes. Yeah.
And give Montreal full credit. Both them and Calgary have done an unbelievable job of fighting right to the end. It looks like still Montreal is going to make it. I don't think Calgary will, but for me, again, watching Montreal live, that they're close. Mm-hmm. I'm not convinced that they're going to make any type of real noise in the first round, but they could extend a series against Washington, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But still not quite there. To me, I saw it felt like an undersized team for me.
Yeah. Well, sure. Like,
and maybe that's because you watch Cole Caulfield out there, who's
nasty.
He's nasty, dynamic, yeah. But very tiny.
Yeah. Small, Suzuki small there. But they'll have some big boys.
He is. He's very too small. But you say tiny. Tiny just kind of hurts.
Wow.
The guy's tiny. That guy's tiny. That's a tough one. But I will say, like, as a Leaf fan, when he has the puck near
it's
the slot,
scary.
He is... Yeah. On the short list of like Leaf killers that really horrify me when he's got the puck. Guy is dangerous. I mean, you don't get to be on the top line of an NHL team at that size without being absolutely filthy with the hands, right. But he's really scary with the puck on a stick.
And just one note too, I think they play Chicago tonight where Demidov's expected to make his National Hockey League debut. Yes. And this one's going to be real interesting in terms of how much he plays and how good he looks and how early he may look like a threat out there and be in a position to eat some meaningful minutes here for the Montreal Canadiens moving forward.
I got
he's a different beast, I'm telling you.
You know who is moving down to the fourth line as a result is Laine.
Yeah.
So now if Patrick Laine has been relegated to fourth line.
With Jake Evans.
Yeah, which like.
I didn't think he was very effective.
Hey, he's among the least effective 5-on-5 players in the league.
Yeah.
Didn't really notice him a whole lot Saturday night.
No.
So, hey.
He did a good job on the penalty kill, too, to take away his
line. He hit Stolarz in the neck three times or something. That helped.
I will say that you mentioned the penalty kill. I think the Ottawa Senators have drawn the most penalties like three straight years.
Correct.
In the NHL.
So they get a lot of power plays. The least penalty kill will be tested, and it has been not as good as you would like it to be.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly.
Yeah.
So they really have to figure out the special teams. Hey, before we get it, you talked about you teased something before the break.
The scheduling.
Yes, that's right.
Now, according to what I'm hearing from the league, is that the teams that play Thursday night, which concludes the National Hockey League season, the league doesn't want those teams playing Saturday night.
No, that's
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So, therefore, conclusion, game one for the Toronto Maple Leafs will open Sunday night.
Oof. Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday night.
Sunday, like Easter Sunday, Sunday night, first Leafs playoff game.
Hey, a lot of
You're
families.
Religious?
No, like... I'm not religious, but at all.
Just ask.
No. You do say, oh, God, a lot.
Well, I'm a fan of the Leafs.
Jeez.
Yeah, but I, you know, it's just, it's not the exact the same cachet as the first opening night battle on Ontario. Sunday is a day of rest. It's not a day of excitement.
Yeah, you do recognize the Sabbath.
It's a day of rest. It is. Sunday is not a day for the first playoff.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
Not to rip on, again, the NHL schedule maker.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But is there a team out there that a Saturday night would mean more to than Canadian markets and Toronto being your biggest one?
But doesn't it feel like...
How do you schedule the Leafs on a Thursday night if you don't want them to open up on a Saturday night?
But doesn't it feel like people are... They're watching that one regardless. They got those ratings. Those are in the bank. There's no one who would have watched Saturday who's not watching Sunday.
No, I don't know. I don't know what the data says. You're going to have to talk to some bean counter up here. But
even all over, I, Mr. I, Hatsos Patros. Petros. Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, I know. And he's Greek too.
Well, it sure sounds like it.
And we're buddies too. And we're buddies.
He's definitely not like an Owen Sound native.
I'm really hoping he left that portion of the scheduling to his assistant.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I wouldn't have done that either. That's silly.
But listen, Saturday night, game one, Stanley Cup playoffs. That's what I think every Canadian market wants. But yeah. Ottawa, so that takes away Ottawa. It takes away Toronto. Leaves Montreal in a position. Edmonton will not play Saturday night because the Kings play Thursday night. If that holds true, that the Kings won't play 48 hours later, then...
So they do Edmonton and Toronto on the Sunday.
Again, based on if the information's correct on... not turning over teams that are playing Thursday night.
One of will start on Monday. Like, there'll be a series that doesn't start till Monday, if I had to guess, and that could be the Leafs. But so, right now we're looking at Leafs ends, Tampa Bay, Florida, Washington, Montreal, Carolina Hurricanes versus New Jersey Devils, Winnipeg, St. Louis, Dallas, Colorado, Vegas, Minnesota, Kings, Edmonton.
Okay. Love it. Hey,
what else you got?
Well, I was just going to say...
Carolina game.
You know, I was just going to say that the back-to-back stuff.
What was their final?
We can play the clip. Berube, clip 9.
I'm proud of the group for how they responded this year. I think our record was 10-4-2 maybe on back-to-backs this year. Pretty good record. You know, it's tough a lot of times with the travel and where you're at and everything. So guys have done a good job of... you know, being smart and playing the right way and defending and not, you know, opening it up too much, you know.
And I think I saw a Sportsnet stat that said John Tavares led the league in back-to-back
points
or goals.
Yeah, he had like 19 points in 16 back-to-backs. He's the exact guy where you'd be like, he's old. He's not going to have success.
Somebody told me
in your face.
Somebody told me that Seattle Kraken had like 11 or 12 back-to-backs, and they're like, 0-11-1.
Hey, like, did anyone have a less relevant year in the league than the Seattle Kraken? Did one interesting thing happen? That team was an expansion team last year. Is their first year? Their second year?
Third year?
Whatever.
Watch the changes coming there.
To be changes.
But to give... go ahead.
No, I was just going to complain about the Kraken.
Well, I was just going to say, to give the Leafs credit, back-to-backs is what basically got Babs fired. They were losing on the second half of every back-to-back that night, that season. They were losing points. They were hemorrhaging points. Back-to-back points are really important. Leafs played a ton of them, and they were really good in them.
This plays into, Sam, the idea that they were an offensive team who needed their legs. They needed to create, to score, to outscore teams. Yeah. This year, if you're a defensive team, you can just kind of pack it in and hang around.
And good goalie. Having two good goalies.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, once you... There's not much of a drop-off. There's not a tremendous feel of a drop off when you go to your backup goalie with Stolarz and Walden.
Yeah, backup.
This season.
Like, who is you even referring to?
Yeah, I mean, there was didn't Murray get a few this year? Two starts? I feel like those are both in the second half of back to back. Hildeby start? Felt like a couple in the second half of back to backs. So
November?
Yeah, it was a while ago. But it's give them credit. They've been good on back to backs. Did you want to play the clip on
Dakota Mermis?
No.
Oh.
On, because one of the guys down at practice was sort of, or after the game, was kind of trying to like ask about the challenge of having the two goalies and kind of like alluding to the game one thing. And you can play the clip on.
Like, there's a controversy? Is that what you're telling us?
In Toronto, they're trying to drum up a goalie controversy. And this was his answer to that. Play clip 6.
I don't know if it's a challenge. I think it's a good thing. We got two capable guys who are doing the job.
Have you guys been talking about this ad nauseum about who to start in game one?
We have on the television that just said Stolarz.
We're on TV right now.
Yes, that's true.
It's just not a debate for me right now. Yeah. They've really shaped up Stolarz to start this thing.
I agree totally, but...
And I still believe that there may be a window where you lose game one in overtime and Stolarz is really good and you go right back to him in game two.
I would be lying. Like, I'm a Stolarz guy. I've been a Stolarz guy from the start. But Joseph Wall's really good is really good.
It's really
And it good. Looks really good.
It looks really in control.
But it's quiet.
Yeah. He can come out of the bullpen and mop up.
He was really good last night, against Carolina. You know,
I really see it.
Yeah.
So do you think that is like the, I mean, outside of play, Stolarz has been really good, but you think it's much easier to go from Stolarz to Wall than it is from Wall to Stolarz?
Yeah. I just think that's the way it's, like I said, I don't have any other way to describe it except that's the way it's shaped up.
I also know Wall puts a lot of emphasis on the mental side of the game and being ready, and he's a competitor. You're not going to offend him by starting the other guy.
So, first round series, Toronto Maple Leafs, Ottawa Senators. We're going to do bet 365 next hour, but 2.5 starts for Joseph Wall in round one.
Here's the connection is if it's over, they're losing, right?
What do you mean?
Yeah. Like if he plays 3 games, they probably have lost the series because Stolarz has got the hook, so that means he's probably lost 2 games. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, we got lots of time to get into
he's
going to
be really bad
series.
In game one to even consider a goalie change.
I will say the Binnington thing at the Four Nations kind of changed my thinking on the goaltenders where that he was, you could have pulled him after a couple games, but he wasn't bad, and they just stuck with him and showed faith and trust, and he rewarded them for that belief. So I'm with you, Kip. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Before we go, before I forget, as everybody knows that listens to the show, I was in Hawaii over for 5 days. Spectacular. But I got a DM while I was on my way there from a guy who owns a coffee farm there named...
A coffee farm?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Called Kona Lisa Coffee.
In Hawaii?
In Hawaii. And he's a huge... He's from Toronto. Huge fan. His name's Gus. Huge fan of the show. And he said, hey, man, would you love to come to the coffee farm? I was like, that'd be cool. But I have literally 4 days here, and like the drinks are great, and the pool's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not going to vent because it's a different island or whatever. And I said, thanks for everything. And he's like, where are you staying? And I told him where we're staying. And I came back from the pool one of the days. This guy, Gus, he sent me like a box full of coffee. Like in a, you know.
Beautiful.
There's Leaf fans everywhere, boys.
Love that.
I just.
Kona Lisa Coffee.
Kona Lisa Coffee. Yeah, shout out. But, you know.
That's awesome.
I think it would be. I just imagine where people would be coming in. The stories that you would hear from people, if the Leafs ever made the final or ever made the conference final, the people from all over the world that would fly back.
But we're never paying for coffee again.
What do you mean?
If they go to a final.
Yeah. But it's just like,
we're going to have it shipped from Hawaii.
I just think it's like, I think
for
it's
life.
Amazing. Yeah. That's just like some random guy has a coffee farm in Hawaii. He's like, here's some coffee. I love the Leafs. I listen to your show every day. That blows my mind. Yeah. So thanks, man.
Yeah, that's super cool.
So I hope the coffee's good.
We
have no problem getting it over the border.
Didn't tell anybody.
Uh-oh.
Buddy.
Uh-oh.
So, like, we went with Allie's work.
Coffee!
Allie's work event. And they, like, you know, it's like a big deal. So they give you all of these things. Like, you get all this cool stuff. And, like, regardless, we got a bunch of stuff. On this Friday morning, we started to pack. We had to go to Target and buy another suitcase. We got so many things. And we had 2 large suitcases full of crap.
I
will tell you off air, but some pretty cool crap. Some pretty cool stuff. Big boxes of cool things.
That's awesome.
Let's just say that. But
sounds like a lovely trip. I'm glad.
I got to play golf. It was fun.
You did?
I did, yeah.
And how's the course?
Expensive.
Like Cabot, St. Lucia?
Well, I don't think you paid for that, so it was more than that, yeah. But
No, was it nice, though?
It was nice.
Off the water?
No, it wasn't. It was inland. It was by the resort.
Okay,
it was fine. It was close. A 10-minute walk from the resort. I could play at 6:30, be back at the pool by 10. It wasn't a big deal. But rental clubs, $89, $49.40.
All right.
$49.40.
Yep.
Got through the first hour. We didn't discuss you losing a jersey, which almost ruined my Masters weekend. And how you went so long without sharing this story, and you finally did, but not to us. You got a lot of explaining to do in the next hour. So do not go away. Real Kipper and Bourne, after these words, back national.